Well, please do keep your Bibles open as we're going to spend some time looking at that passage. But first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we pray by your Spirit now. Help us to hear. Help us to listen. Help us to pay attention. Help us to accept your word in our lives as you long to give to us and long to give us more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we may or may not have another general election soon. We may have escaped it. But I wonder if we did what the party slogans would be. The last election we had from Labour, for the many, not the few. From the Conservatives, we had strong and stable. Well, I wonder if any party, if we did have a general election, would have our focus verse today as their slogan. Mark 4, verse 25. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. I'm not too sure it would be a vote winner. But I hope we'll see as we unpick the verse today that it's actually a glorious truth and points us to God's incredible grace, his undeserved love and favour in the lives of those who know him. Well, today we're continuing a series focused on sayings by Jesus. And there's some of the sayings we may have heard of or we may not have heard of. There's sayings we may have looked at and thought, oh, not too sure what that's about, and then moved on. So it's an opportunity to unpick this verse, this saying of Jesus, a bit more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. However we may respond initially to the verse, perhaps there's a seeming injustice and unfairness about it, almost maybe a reverse of Labour. Instead of for the many, not the few, it seems to say for the few, not the many. But actually, it's a wonderful, amazing truth. It points us to God's amazing grace and his continuing work in our lives. So just a bit of a heads up, as in some ways it does get quite involved as we look into this verse. But I hope we'll understand, when we understand it correctly, that when Jesus says, whoever has will be given more, whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. We'll see that God is saying that if we know Jesus, if we've accepted the gospel, if we've been given, as this verse says, then we'll be given more. Not only do we know the forgiveness of sins, but there's a host more things that we'll be given. And it's important to emphasize here, and as I'll mention later on, the key is that we are given it. It is not earned. It is not salvation or blessing by works. It is God's grace working in our lives, and that's why it's a cause of thanksgiving and praise. But what is mentioned is hearing, listening, paying attention. If, like me, you have an interest in politics and current affairs, and you probably need some help, but apart from that, it can be irritating just how many times a politician will repeat the party slogan. But it's all based on research and the idea that people may hear, but listening, paying attention requires repeating. People may hear, but do they take it on board? Do they accept it? That's something quite different. Well, let's try and unpick the wonderful truths of these verses, in verse 25 in particular. If you have closed your Bible, please do grab hold of it again, and it's page 38 of the New Testament section of the Bible, Mark 4, verses 13 to 25. Although our focus today is verse 25, we cannot and must not ignore the context of this verse, as it's surrounded by stories of growth. The parable of the sower is before this verse. It's in verses 1 to 9 of chapter 4. We have the image of light not being hidden in verses 21 and 22. And then after that, we have the parable of the mustard seed in verses 30 and 32. Throughout, it's about God's word and God's word growing, bearing fruit, bringing light. And that is essential for understanding what Jesus is saying in verse 25. I think most of us are familiar with the parable of the sower that Jesus told. As I say, it's recorded here in verses 1 to 9 of chapter 4. And then in the verses we had read to us, it's explained by Jesus. Verse 14, the sower sows a seed. This is God through his people sharing the gospel message. The message that he is God, that he sent his son Jesus to rescue us from the consequence of our sin, to restore us in a good relationship with God. So God is a sower, and his word is a seed that he sows. And in verses 1 to 9, we're told that it falls on different ground, on different surfaces. And in verses 15 to 20, they're explained. First of all, verse 15, the path. They hear the word, but Satan takes it away. What they have is temporary. It is taken away. Even what they have is taken away, linked to our verse 25. Second, verse 16, the rocky ground. They hear the word and receive with joy. But when trouble and persecution comes, they fall away. Thirdly, verse 18, the thorns. They also hear the word, but the cares of life, the wealth and desire for other things choke the word. And verse 19, it yields nothing. There's no fruits, there's no growth from it. And then verse 20, the good soil. They also, like the previous three, hear the word. So everyone hears a word, but they also accept it and bear fruit. They've been given and they have more. The importance of doing more than listening, of responding, is found in verse 9. Jesus says, "Let anyone with ears to hear, listen." And then in verse 20, he says, they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And that's true of our focus verse today. If you just turn over to page 69 in the New Testament section, we have in Luke's Gospel, we have the same parables told and explanations. But in the same verse that we have in Mark 4, verse 25 today, in verse 18 of chapter 8, so page 69, it adds a little bit at the start. Verse 18 of Luke 8. Then pay attention to how you listen. For to those who have, more will be given. And from those who do not have, even what they have will be taken away. So it adds a little bit at the start. Pay attention. That's how we're to listen. We're not just to hear. We're to pay attention to what's being said. It's about how we respond to God's word in our lives. Then to make the same point, back in Mark 4, we have the image of light used in verses 21 and 22. Verse 21, is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? The lamp is God's word, his rule in our lives. It brings light into the room. More is given, we see the more of the room. We see more of God. But if it's hidden, it dims. It'll be taken away. And it's a helpful image of God's rule, his word in our lives, his light. If we accept it, it shines even brighter. So with the parable of the sower, with the image of the light, with the parable of the mustard seed, we see that God's word, God's kingdom, is designed to grow. So that those who receive it, those who in the words of verse 25 have been given, will find that God's word grows both in their lives and through their lives. It bears fruit. It shines even brighter. If we're the fourth soil, we're the one who has been given. And this is grace. But God will give us more. And isn't that our experience? That as we go on in the Christian life, we see how limitless is God's provision and goodness, often in the darkest of times. And that will also be growth in our relationship with God and growth in our witness in how we live our lives. The person who welcomes God's rule will be given more of God's fruit. The person who perhaps hears God's word but does not listen and continues to depend on self will lose even that. It will not grow. The light will grow dim. It will become darkness. What verse 25 is, our focus verse today, is a self-evident truth. If we have received God's word in our lives, if we are the good soil, it will grow. And that's an incredible blessing. It's even more good news. Not only do we have God's grace and know the forgiveness of sins, a good relationship with God and his presence in our lives, we have the hope of heaven, and we have the amazing gift of being able to live and serve God now. We'll be given more, the opportunity to share God's word, to be part of his work in bringing others to know him. If we just think about that, it's quite mind-blowing. God has not only chosen you and me, but he's also chosen us to be part of his work. One of my favourite verses is Ephesians 2, verse 10. And actually, if you get the chance later on, if you read Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10, they complement this passage in Mark quite well. But if you just turn to page 205 of the New Testament section, I just want to read Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. page 205. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. God not only calls us to salvation, he calls us to serve. He not only gives to us, he gives us even more. It's interesting as a parent and as your children grow and thoughts and discussions about what they may do in the future, what job they may have in the future, and understandably, it's quite hard for them to know. But isn't it great, isn't it exciting that we know and they know that God has first and foremost called them to know his grace and his love, but also that he has good works set aside for them. And that's true for all of us as Christians, whatever our age and stage. We can celebrate and rejoice in the truth of verse 25, knowing it's by grace that we've been given and will be given more. But perhaps we've still got the issue left of being of, well, who's gives it and who is it given to? If you turn back to Mark 4 and look at verses 10 to 11. So Mark 4, verses 10 and 11. When Jesus was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, may indeed listen, but not understand, so they may not turn again to be forgiven. The disciples, Jesus says there, have been given the link to verse 25. They've been given the secret of the kingdom of heaven. They've not earned or worked for it. It has been given. It's grace, as we saw in the verses in Ephesians. We also saw in the verses that were read from us from Romans. If you just turn to page 165 in the reading we had earlier on, Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's clear again here, just as it is in Mark, it is God who gives. God who, here in verse 28 in Romans, has called us. He called, he justified, he glorified. Well, to predestine or not, I'm sure ours is not the only home group where the P word comes up. And now is not the time to get into a debate or discussion about free will and predestination. As an aside, I believe that both are presented as truth in the Bible. And even though they seem contradictory and we cannot understand how they all hold together, they do. God has chosen and predestined us to be his children and given to us. But we are to hear, we're to listen and to accept God's word. We talked in our home group this week about things being held in tension, and I think this is one example. It's certainly clear we love because God first loved us. That was clear from our recent study of 1 John, wasn't it? God is the one who has acted, and it is grace. And in that sense, we have to leave how it all works out to God and trust in God's character. What do we know about God? He's a God of love, of grace, of compassion and mercy. Verse 25 is a call to the gospel. Come know his forgiveness and so much more. Verses 23 and 24, pay attention to what you hear. The one who has knowledge will understand it better. They'll be given more. Whereas the one who does not listen carefully, therefore does not have and will lose even what they had. Therefore, if we're Christians, if we're the fourth soil, with all the flaws and the challenges and the joys and the battles, we have been chosen, we have been given, and will be given more. So just a few final thoughts. Have you heard? Have you listened? Have you been given? Do we just hear? Do we hear and listen? Do we hear, listen, and accept? Do we pay attention to how we listen? God sent Jesus into the world so that everyone who believes may have eternal life. I wonder this morning where you would place yourself in the parable of the sower. The The great thing is that you're here this morning, so you're hearing God's word. But do we do more than this? Verse 20, do we accept it? Verse 24, do we pay attention to what we hear? Has it taken root? Is there fruit? Is the light shining brighter? If we know by God's grace that we are the good soil, with all the doubts and the flaws and the challenges that may be in our lives, but somehow we hold on to God, or more accurately, God holds on to us, first and foremost, we can give thanks this morning that we've been chosen by God. He has his hand in our lives. However we may feel, however our lives may look from the outside, we are with God and God is with us, and that's an amazing thing to praise God for. But we can think about the encouragement we have. Do we still listen? Do we still hear as we first did? Do we keep close to God's word? Do we pay attention to how we listen? For many of us, it's holiday time in the next few weeks. And it's a great time maybe just to get back into good spiritual habits, to get back into prayer and reading God's word. And there's many resources out there. But we don't need many resources. Actually, we only need the Bible. Sarah Williams has been mentoring one of our daughters with another friend. And so they've been looking through Philippians, and Sarah gave a bit of background information. But then she said, each time you look at a part of the passage, pray beforehand, but just think about these three questions. What is the passage saying? What does the passage tell me about God? How does it apply to me? So why not, if you've not thought about what you may do with the Bible in the next few weeks, why not do that with Philippians? Why not study Philippians, choose a passage each day, pray beforehand, and ask those three questions. What is the passage saying? What does the passage tell me about God? How does it apply to me? Well, as I said at the start, there may or may not be a general election in the next few weeks. And I suppose a change of leader, a change of party may make a few changes. But actually, for us, hearing, listening, accepting, paying attention to God's word will have eternal consequences and blessings. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. To keep growing is a work of grace, and we know God completes his good works. We've been given the good news in our own lives and all the blessings now and for all eternity that it brings. But God's word and kingdom are about growth. God plans more for us. He plans growth, light, that more is given, and it's for his praise and glory. Amen.